Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Maseches Chulin Daf Ayin Zayin. We begin on Ayin Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. This connects to yesterday, where we learned that if the animal presents an open fracture, so the hind leg was completely broken, with the fracture exposed to the outside, the mission says that dangling limb is in trouble unless the breakage area is mostly encased by with basa, with flesh, with skin. In which case, it can regenerate the cell growth and bring about recovery. What about the sinews, nerves? We speak about flesh, about skin. What about the gidin? If the break is enclosed by gidin, does that count? Can that actually regenerate growth and heal the wound? Hanu gidin. So we have this the animal with the break being covered by gidin, but they were gidin rakin. Soft ones, fleshy sinews. The osul kamei de rabba. So the question was presented to Rabba. They came to Rabba to ask, what is the status of this animal? Amar Rabba. Says Rabba, what's the issue? Look, currently they're soft, they're edible. Although in the future they tend to harden. Who cares? But right now, they can do the job. They could scab up and they could close up the wound. What's the problem? What should be the concern with these chada? First of all, Rabbi Yechanan already taught us regarding a different matter which we're going to apply to our case. That in fact, gidin, these sinews, these tendons, shesoifa lahakshus, despite the fact that in the future they will harden and become inedible. But as of right now, Basher Husham, right, in its current state, it's edible, it's soft. Nimnin, we turn to the next page, Nimnin Alein B'Pesach. You could even count on them regarding Karban Pesach consumption, Rashi says. Let's say the Karban Pesach is jam-packed, they have a full crew. It's been fully allocated, and there's just some of these Gidin that are still, can they invite another member to join them in the Karban Pesach? Counting on him eating these gidin? Yeah, no problem. It's considered like basar, Rashi says, Alma basar ninu, considered like basar. And why not? Be our guest. Likewise, they could generate healing on the wound. Nimna nalein b'pesach. Void, furthermore, look, we're meant to be considerate in terms of needless waste of Yiddish geld. We find the Torah many times is concerned about preserving our wealth, concerned about unnecessary spending. So in this case, why should we consider the animal a treifa? Why should we consider the limb asur? That was Rabbi's response. Amalira Papa la Rabbah, so Papa responds. That's the basis for your ruling. First of all, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, he opposes Rabbi Yechanan's position. He says these gidin, which will eventually harden, are not classified as edible materials. First of all. Number two, the factor of conserving money. We're talking about the Isur Daraisa, a question of Isur Min HaTorah, Eva Menachai, etc. Vat Amerson, you're saying, my lechushlu, what's the concern? Why should Ishtik? So Rabbi had no response, he was silenced. Ask the Gemara, my Ishtik. Why did he remain silent? He could have simply said, Va'amar Rabbi, Rabbi tells us, Hilchasaka said, Shim Malakish, but it lost. There are only three instances where we adopt Rab Shim Malakish's opinion vis a vis Rabbi Yechanan. But otherwise, we adopt Rabbi Yechanan's position. Rashi brings the three cases, but this isn't one of them. So in this case, regarding the Gidin, Shasayfa and Lahaksha, since they're currently edible or soft, we pass on Rabbi Yochanan. It's considered Basar. Says the Gemara, no, it's not so simple. You know why? Shani Hacha. It's very different in this case. In this case, in fact, we know. The Halacha does not adopt Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that is considered Basar. You know why? Because Rabbi Yochanan himself was found to have conceded to Rish Lakish that, in fact, it's not considered like Basar. The Hadabei Rabbi Yochanan Lagabe, Rabbi Yochanan conceded Lagabe to Rab Shimon ben Lakish. Where do we find this? Because there's a whole discussion later on that Kuchav Beis regarding Kabbalah's Tumah. We're speaking there about the skin around the head of a young calf. And Rabbi Yochanan says, well, even though currently it's soft and fleshy, it's not considered like basar, it's not makabel tumah, because eventually it's going to stiffen up. Asks Rish Lakish, what about that Mishnah which says that oyer of this nature is considered like basar? Rabbi Yochanan responds, oh, that Mishnah, Damarle, Rabbi Yochanan responds, al taknitene, don't tease me, so to speak, meaning don't challenge me from that Mishnah. That Mishnah is merely expressing the opinion of an individual opinion. It's not the consensus. But Lashon Yochid and Ishayna Oysa. The Mishnah represents a Lashon Yochid. It's the opinion of one Shita. It's Reb Shimon. It's not the consensus view. The consensus view is that, in fact, the material which eventually will not be edible is not considered like basar. It's back to our story. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, these gidin shesoifan lahakshes would not be considered basar, in which case we can't use them for our purpose either, to encase, to enclose, to heal the break on the bone. Okay, there was a story regarding this type of phenomenon. Hahu nishbara etzep, there was an animal who had this open fracture. V'yotza lachutz, right? So the fracture was visible, it was exposed. Now, lucky for the animal, there was some roiv, meaning the majority was covered as per the Mishnah's requirement, but there was a little catch here. Dishtakel, kurtisa. Kurtisa is a little bit, like a kairit. Just a little sliver of that bone got decayed and fell down. Minei fell off the thing. So, on one hand it's being protected and covered, but on the other hand you see that there's some more serious, it's a more serious condition than just a typical break. It's really decaying and it's falling apart. Also, came to Abaye, so the owner came to Abaye to ask him, Shahaya, he didn't have a straight answer. He made him wait, Lasa Rigli, three Yamim Tovim, when the Chacham would get together, he'd discuss it with them. In any case, there was no clear answer at this point. Amalir Rav Adar Amasna, so he told the owner, you know what, Zilka made the Rava. Go to Rava. If you want an instant answer, go to Rava. He has downpacked. He's not going to make you wait a year. And actually, it's interesting, the famous Rava throughout Shas, his full name is the Rava Bray, the Rav Yosef Bar Chama, that was Rava's name. Tacharifa Sakini has a sharp knife. He's going to give you a straight out, instant answer. Also, in fact, he came to Rava and he gave him an answer. True to his word, Amar, he says, true to his reputation, Amar, Michti, look at the Mishnah. Nishbar Etzem V'yotzel Chutznan. Mishnah says, it was an exposed break. If it's mostly covered, it's okay. What's the difference if it's this or that, if a chip fell off or not? Mali nafal, mali isay, what difference does it make if a chip fell off or not? It's mostly covered, it's okay. Okay, talking about mostly covered, I'm going to let Rabbi Nilarav, I have a question for you. Mislaket mao, fine, the break is mostly covered, but let's say it's not a contiguous piece that's covering, it's just a bit, and together it's most. Misracis mao, what if the coverage was was flimsy, it wasn't, proper thick flesh, it was like poor material, poor quality material. Thinned out, okay. Mismasmes, let's say the basar covering the break is mismasmes, it's decaying. Mahu, what would happen in that case? It's covered, but with poor quality coverage. Now, what type of decay are we concerned about? What exactly? The concern is only if it's really decayed to the point that the doctor, the veterinarian, would typically cut it out. Only if it's at the point that the doctor or the veterinarian would, you know, cut it out. But if it's not so, then it wouldn't be a concern. Another question regarding this coverage. Nikav, let's say the coverage got a hole. Mao. Would that interfere with the healing process or not? Niklaf, let's say, it peeled off the bone, so it's not flush with the bone, it's sort of free-hanging. Mao, what happens there? Nistak, let's say you got a long slit. Mao, what about there? Nishatachtoin Mao, let's say, the bottom third of the thickness of the flesh disintegrated, and only the top two-thirds are intact. Mao, can it do the job or not? Okay, so regarding the last scenario, we have a raya. Toshmai, comes a raya. Damar ula, amar b'yechna, oyray, harayu kabasar. We learned earlier that skin can accomplish the same as the actual flesh. And we're assuming that the skin here is free-hanging, meaning the flesh below it was sort of disintegrated. So that's like the previous case. And we say it works. Dilma dekana. No, perhaps we're speaking dekana. Kana means it acquired, like kinyan, mashka. The skin acquired the day its own meaning. We're speaking in a location where there is no flesh. It's just the skin right on the bone. And in fact, it's stuck to the bone, flush on the bone, providing proper protection, seal protection. So perhaps in this case, it's better than the other case where there was flesh, which was disintegrated. Amar Vashi, one more shaila regarding this condition. Kavina be Rav Papi. When we attended the Beis Medrash of Rav Papi, we had a question. Ibayilam, we had a question. Nigdar kiminta bas. So we have the fracture covered, mostly covered, but in that coverage there's a round hole. Tabas, like a ring, like a. Okay, so it's a round hole. And since it's a smooth round hole, you know, perhaps the animal would find it more difficult to recover it. Probably, you know, if it's jagged, it's more likely to sort of connect and reconnect and reheal. But if it's a nice, clean slit, upashatna, and this was resolved, we clarified it maha based on the following halacha. Damar v'damar rav. Damar is at the following question. I discussed with the chachamim and with the doctors. Damar is a sha'alti l'chachamim l'reifim. V'amar, they said like this. Although it's a clean hole, there's a solution. Varma, they told me, Misarta be'atzam, take a little sharp bone, a piece of a bone, and scrape at it. Make it bleed, make it run, make it generate, you know, blood and pus and whatever, which will regenerate some new cell growth and reconnect the edges. Umalaruka. Will scab up and eventually regrow its skin. So that's the way to take a bone chip. Aval parzlov, don't use a piece of metal. Mizrah zarev, that really scrapes and that really, it's going to make it swell, it's going to affect, it's not going to help any. It's going to make it worse. Amar papa, one more condition is required. Behu provided the kana. Kana again means it acquired, it's flush. Garma didei. At the garma, the bone acquired its own meaning. That we see that around that round hole, the flesh is actually connecting to the bone, and the recovery process has begun. Okay, so in a nutshell, we have this etzem that was nishbar, this fracture that was broken through and through, exposed to the outside, open fracture. What's the status? If it's mostly covered, then it's okay. Mostly covered with what? With flesh, with some skin. Gidim, that doesn't really count, apparently, and we had all kinds of variations of deficiencies with that coverage, holes and disintegrations and all kinds of things that we discussed. Okay, we begin a new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ashechad es ha-behema. So back to something that was discovered inside the mother animal after her shechita. So this time, instead of speaking about discovering a real, animal inside, the animal, discovered within its shulya, embryonic sac, the sac that's encases the fetus. Matzah b'shulya. No problem, eat it. Because again, it's included within the you know, the animal package, and you know, the shechita of the animal covers it. Matzah b'shulya nefesh ayafa. If you're a less than discerning a person, meaning in terms of you're not so finicky, and you have no problem consuming this material, gesundheit, enjoy it, echlana. But since it isn't really the most pleasant food, so actually it's not even classified as food, since the ordinary person would never. Would never bring himself to eat this. Ve'ena matama, so it's not matame. Loy tumas oichlin, it's not susceptible to tumah like any other food. It's not food. Loy tumas nevelas, nor is it considered nevela. That's how the animal would die with this thing inside. It's not nevela. It's not basar. Nevela only applies to edible material. This is technically inedible. However, chishav aleil, let's say the person designated it for food, fine. So going forward, matama tumas oichlin is considered like food. And can become tummy as such, but avalutumas nevela, but still cannot be considered nevela if it's part of that animal, because you know, the person's designation can accomplish somewhat, can render it food, but it's not still not technically basar, which would make it part of the nevela. Okay, next case. You have a live animal who experienced a partial birth. So the shulya, the sac, shiyotsa miktsasa, exited partially. So let's say a quarter of it went out of the mother. And then, you know, they shechted the mother, and you know, you have it all inside now. Asura b'achila, you can't eat the whole shilya and the content of it. You know why? Because we have a concern that even though currently it's all dissolved in there, you can't discern an animal, perhaps when it did leave the animal, when there was that partial birth, within that portion that exited the animal, guess what was there? Maybe. The head portion of the unborn animal. Now the head, if it's born, it's considered born. So halachically, the unborn animal was inside, was really born, in which case it left the animal, the mother animal's confines. It gained its own independence, its own identity, and it no longer is covered by the mother's shechita. So again, maybe when it left the animal, when the part of the shulya left, inside that part was hidden the partially disfigured, you know, head of an animal, which still accounted for the head, still considered head. So a little later, it's all dissolved, you don't see anything, but technically the unborn was born, because the head constitutes later. Asur b'achila, so you can't eat even the shilya. The shilya, the sack, of course, you know, relates to the animal within it. Whatever the status of the animal within it applies to the shilya as well. And the reason is because the shulya is a siman vlad be'isha. It's a sign of birth by a woman, by a human. The siman vlad be'behemah, likewise by behemah. Meaning, we assume that within a shulya there is a vlad. Next, hamavakeres. We have a kosher animal which is giving birth for the first time, which in which case the first born would be considered kadosh, given to the kohen as a for a karban. Shepil shulya. In this case, there was no live birth. It was just a shulya that was expelled. In this case, give it to the dogs. No concern about Kedusha. Why? Because we're going to see in the Gemara, based on our statistics, it's most likely not going to be Kaddish. Ubi Mekdashin to cover. However, if the animal that expelled this Shulya was a regular carbon, not a Bechor, like a Shlamim, in this case, the material has Kedusha to cover, and you have to bury it. Now, where do you bury it? You have to be careful to follow the Jewish tradition in terms of not relating to Avodah Zarah issues and all kinds of magic phenomena. Ve'en kaver noisa, you don't bury it by Parshas Drachim down at the crossroads where the Goyim would do. Ve'en tov noisa ve'ilam lo, you hang it on a tree. That was the practice of the Amorites in Eretz, you know, Eretz Yisrael, where they would do things that related to sorcery, to nichosh, to avodah zarah. The pasuk warns us, "Olitasa k'maseim." ensure that your practices are in line with Jewish tradition. Not everybody says, how do we know that in fact a regular shulya found inside a shechted animal is mutter to eat? Not everybody. To turn around, we have a braisa. Kol ba'behema teichelu. So the word ba'behema tells you, the rabbi says ha'shulya. This sack is also permitted by way of the shechita of the mother. Yochel afilu. So perhaps even in the case where in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah describes as Yatsim Ktsasa, was partially born, perhaps in this case as well, no, Oysa, only what's inside, Oysa, Loishal Yasa, only the animal, not the Shulya, that already left the animal partially. Ask the Gemara, why do we need a Pasuk for this partial birth? I mean, it's just plain calculation. I mean, concern that the head was in there, and it's a birth. I mean, you don't need a special pasuk for that. Michti, look, ein shulya b'lei vlad. We established that a shulya comes along with a vlad. And since part of it left the mother during its lifetime, we have to suspect that it was the head part. Lomali kro, why do we require a special pasuk for this? It's not a new concept. It's just based on, established premises. You're right, kras machta ba'am. This pasuk is just like an asmachta, sort of a support, a hint. But in fact, the actual halacha is just plain basic established premises based on the concern that there was a leida, and in which case it was a leida, it would be asur because it left the animal during its lifetime. Veina matama, now this shulya that was discovered fully within the animal is permissible, but you should know it's not really food. Veina matama. On a related case, you have the skin of a donkey, which Rashi says is kosher umos. It's like thick and very unpleasant. But shishlokan, he heavily cooked it and made it somewhat edible. Ma, what's the status of this material? Lamai, regarding what are you asking? Ilutumus oichlin. You want to know if it's considered food, classified as oichel regarding tumas oichel? Tanina, we have a brisa coming up that resolves that question. We turn to Amud Beis. Ilo tumas nevelos. Are you asking regarding nevelos status? If this donkey skin was taken off a dead donkey, which is a nevelo, you want to know whether the nevelos status applies to this heavily cooked skin? Tanina, that also is discussed in the brisa. We are. Tumas Eichel Tanina, regarding Tumas Eichel, we have a brisa. The sanya, ha'erva shulya, skin of an animal, shulya, the sack, ain't matama Tumas Eichel, not considered food. It's not really edible. It's not food material, but ersha shalkai, but if you heavily cooked the animal skin, va'shulya shachishav aleho, or the sack which was designated for food, matama Tumas Eichel, going forward, they're considered food. Okay, so there's your answer. We're assuming that donkey skin is covered in this halacha as well. Soon the Gemara will differentiate. Regarding the nevela status, that too is a brisa. Tumas nevela is not mitanina. Pasuk says, if a person touches b'nevelasa, the carcass, that's an extra word in the pasuk, to teach, nevela status is limited to food elements within an animal. Not bones or hooves or horns, they're not edibles. V'lei bo'er, as opposed to a person touches the skin of an animal, v'lei batzamos, the bones, the begitin, the sinews, v'lei b'karnayim, the horns, v'lei tefayim, nor the hooves. Now, that seems to be obvious. I mean, if it's not edible, why would you be telling me? V'amar rabba rachana o'le nisrucho, the main point of the brisa is, elo sha'ason tzike kedevra. We're speaking that he cooked it up really well with seasoning, with spices, made a nice stew out of it. And that's the point of the brisa, to highlight it, even in that type of case, where it seems pretty appetizing. Nevertheless, it's not really an avela. Okay, so basically, these items had been discussed in brisas. What's the Gemara Shaila regarding the whether it's Yeah, the question was regarding whether it's classified as food. Now, all of the brisa, the first brisa, we discussed that very question. Perhaps here it's different. Vishani Urchamur, the skin of a donkey is different than mois. It's so unpleasant, so mois. So that triggers a new question. Perhaps in this case, even heavily cooking it wouldn't help it much. And that was the shayla. Shul Yishyotzis. Okay, on to the next case. So the animal experienced a partial birth. Part of the shul you left the animal. Mishnah says, our concern is that within that section was contained the head of the unborn, which constitutes a birthing experience, in which case it cannot be covered any longer by the mother's shechita, and the whole thing is asur. Amar b'laza leishanu. It only concerns us, elosh einim avlad. There's no other visible, discernible fetus inside the this sack. We just see, you know, dissolved material, so that triggers our concern. Aval yeshim avlad. But if we discern, we have a visible, discernible fetus right there, and we see that it didn't come out, even partially. Ein choshishin uvaracher. So in that case, we just attributed it all to that unborn animal. We don't concern ourselves, we don't speculate that perhaps there was another one, there was a twin there, and he came out partially, and then he dissolved. No. Why should we arouse new suspicions? Let's assume there was only one unborn, only one fetus, and he's all the way inside. Rabbi Echon Amar, no. We're concerned about twins. So even if we clearly see the unborn stuck deep inside, but maybe there was another one, maybe there was a twin who dissolved and he had come out partially. Rabbi Echon Amar, Bein Einim Avlad. Whether there's no other vlad there, ben yeshem vlad, even if there is another one there, choshishin levar acho, concerned about another accompanying twin who stuck his head out and then he dissolved. Eini, is that so? That according to Rabbi Elazar, we're lenient on this matter. Eini, is this version correct? Vaha amar Rabbi Yirmiya. You see, Rabbi Yirmiya told us. L'chumra amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was the most strict, most stringent of the two opinions. And according to our version, he's actually being lenient. But once you see another Vlad inside, you just blame it all on him and we assume there's nothing else. And there's no concern about partial birth. Okay, so the Mora now will switch the version. Elo Yitmach, Yitmach was learned, it was learned like this. Amar Rabbi Elazar. He adopts a strict view on this whole matter. Leishana, when do we say that there is a concern about a partial birth? Elosh she'enoch kshura b'avlad. So, even if you do notice another vlad inside, alive and well, deep inside, never came out, we'll be concerned that perhaps in this shulya there was another one that was dissolved, that partially came out. But that's only Elisha Enoch Shura B'Vlad, if this shulya of this sack is not sort of tied or connected to the existing Vlad inside. So there's a concern, perhaps it was a separate, represents a separate experience. Aval Kshura B'Vlad, if it's tied or connected to that existing Vlad inside, then safe to assume they're one and the same entity. There is no other accompanying twin. Ein Choshishim, we're not concerned with Vlad Acher for another Vlad. So he's very machmir, because unless it's tied and connected to the existing Vlad, we suspect that there was another one. Rabbi Yechon Amar says, no. As soon as you see a Vlad inside, alive and well, deep inside, let's just blame the shulya on him. Let's not trigger any more, you know, theories, any more conspiracies and all kinds of speculations. Rabbi Yechon Amar, Ein lanu, we're not going to make the shulya asur unless Elo shulya blei Vlad. If there's no real Vlad with it, then we have to assume that he dissolved inside the shulya. We'll never know. Maybe his head came out. If you have a real discernible animal inside, and we see that it's still inside, never came out, whether he's connected to the sack or not, we assume it's one and the same package, bein kishur b'vlad, whether the shili is connected to that vlad, bein ein kishur b'vlad, whether he's not attached, ein chashishin l'vlach, we're not concerned about another vlad that dissolved, that came out, and therefore, the shili is perfectly fine. Okay, v'haynu the Amar Yirmiyah, and this corresponds with Rav Yirmiyah, who told us that in fact l'chumra Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar adopted a stringent view. He's very machmir. He says even if you find another blood inside, you never know. Maybe it was they were two separate. You know, they were twins, unless it's connected and tied to it. Tadikav said Rabbi Elazar. In fact, you have a brisa that supports this strict view. That only if it's kashura, but otherwise we're concerned that there were two. Ha'apelas, min behema chayva oif, a woman, miscarried. A figure which resembles a behema chayva oif, doesn't have a human form. In which case, it will not trigger the whole, you know, system that a woman experiences after birth, the days of tuma, the days of tahara. That only applies if it's a human form. But, listen to this, v'shul yeimahin, with this miscarried entity, you have a shulya, another sack. So what happens? If Bizman Shah Shulya, Bizman Shah, if this sack is actually connected to the animal form, we can safely assume that it's one and the same package. There was no other, you know, entity there. There was no human form there. We're not concerned about another Vlad, which was of human variety, which would have triggered the whole system of Yimei Tumah, Yimei Tahara. We're not concerned because we assume it's one and the same package. But if it's not connected to that Behemah Chayiv form, that triggers a concern that perhaps, I have to speculate, perhaps in this Shulya was contained another embryo. And this one had a human form to him, and will activate the whole Yimei Tumah, Yimei Tahara on the Isha. Eina Kshura Ben Harinimata Alea Chaymash Nevelodis. We're concerned perhaps of two. We apply the Chumra of both. Yeah, this discernible one is a Behema. Okay, that's not really going to trigger, but maybe there was a human form as well. And what happens? So she has to observe the days of Tumah. Maybe it was a female figure and 2 weeks of Tumah, but she has no Yimei Tahara. Typically, goes hand in hand. Isha after birth has Yimei Tumah, days which is automatically Tumah, and then she switches to days which is automatically Tar, despite experiencing blood. So in this case, she doesn't have the lenient side. Maybe it really was, there was no human form that accompanied the Behema form, but maybe there was. So she gets the strictnesses, she gets the tumah without the tahara. Shani Omer, because we're concerned, we have to speculate. Maybe there was another accompanying birth as well. This one had human properties to him. Shani Omer, Shema Nemoyach Shvir Shal Shulya. Maybe in this Shulya, there was a Shvir, a fetus, which dissolved. And he was a proper, you know, fetus of human race. Shema Nemoyach Shulya Shal Shvir. And regarding the Shvira, the other fetus, the other min behema that she spit out, where's the shulya, where's the sack? Maybe that dissolved. So bottom line is you can theoretically accommodate two births here. One was inside the shulya, and one was without the shulya. Okay, in any case, we see from the Braisa that unless they're tied, they're connected, unless the shulya is connected, physically connected to the miscarried entity, it triggers all kinds of concerns that perhaps there was an additional entity which corresponds with Rabbi Elazar, which is the more strict view of this issue. Okay, at the end of the Mishnah, Mevakeresh Yipil, we have a kosher animal birthing for the first time, she miscarries. What do we do with this material? Not to worry, throw it to the dogs. Why? What do you mean if it's a Bechor, it should be Kaddish? The answer is, percentage-wise, in terms of percentages, it's more likely that it was not Kaddish. You see, only a firstborn male animal is a Bachar. And only if he's not a Nidma. Nidma means that he, in his configuration, his features, his facial features, he appears different than his parents. So let's say he was born to a goat and he looks like a sheep. That's called a Nidma. He looks different. He won't have Kedushas Bechor. We learn it from a Pasuk, right? So, what's the chance, what's the likelihood of having a male offspring that is not a Nidma? It ends up being less than 50%. So, the majority factor is against. Majority factor indicates that it's not a Bechor. Therefore, we follow majority, follow Roiv, and we throw it to the dogs. My time, a why? I'm a Rikab Reder of Ami. Roiv behemois yoldis. Dovar HaKadosh B'Bechorim. So, the first equation is, in terms of Nidme versus not Nidme. Most births are not Nidme. Dovar HaKadosh B'Bechorim, an animal which appears, which resembles his parents. So he's going to have Kedush. Umiyot, in a minority of instances, we have Yoldes, they give birth to Dabash and Kadosh B'chor, animals which don't have Kedushas B'chor. Why, Umaniu? Why? What are they? Nidme. This is similar to the parents. Let's say that's 10%, okay? So 10% of the full 100 is written off. So we're left at 90%. Within the 90, statistically, you have 50 males, 45 males, 45 females. So if you add the 45 females to the 10 of Nidme, you have 55 in total that are not potential Bechor. So you have a majority. That's not a Bechor. Bechor are Yodas. And typically, all births are presumed to be 50-50 in terms of male and female. Yodas, Mechza Zachar, Mechza Mekevus. Animal give birth half Zachar, half Mekevus. Smoich Miyuta Nidme. So take the small percentage of the Nidme, which is 10%. Add it to the 45 Nikevos, for a total of 55% of non-Bechor. Lemechza Nikevos, Vavol Yitzchar Miyuta. So you're left with just 45 of Zacharim with potential to be a Kaddish B'Bechor. That's a Miyut. Not to worry. But Ubim Gdoshim to cover. Suppose it's a regular carbon, a Shlom, that had this experience. In that case, the miscarriage has Kedusha. You know why? My time, Ruba Bar Migdashi. Who? Because in contrast to the Bechor, where the Kedusha only applies to male animals, here even females would have Kedusha of a Shlomim. So all you can discount is for the 10 Nidme, leaving you with 90 out of 100 that are going to be Kaddish. So that's a vast majority after we treat it like Kedusha. Bury it. But be careful. You follow the Jewish practices. Vein kovim ma'isa, you don't put in the intersection and on the tree. Here comes an interesting Gemara in terms of how you define what's considered proper, conventional, halachically sanctioned medicinal practices versus, you know, practices that relate to avodah zarah and kishuf and all that. How do you define? How do you differentiate? Abaye v'rava. They give us a very simple parameter. Abaye v'rava. They both explain to us. Kol davar sheyesh ba mishum refu. Anything that generates refuah. Rashi says, kigoin mashke. Anything which is considered medical, medicinal, mashke. A sam. A lachash. Interesting. Rashi says, even a lachash, incantation, a chant. Shalech shalamaka. So medicine, incantations that are regarded as medical, you know, procedures. Aim by mishum darkemer. Don't worry about darkemer. It's not about the Zara. But otherwise, aim by refuah. If it doesn't have medicinal properties to it. For instance, says Rashi, Kigon Shoisin Shalei Al Achoili. These are not considered as an expression of of a medicinal practice, kigain kvaras shulya pashas rachim, burying the shulya down the road, etc. Shedem lo nichush, like nichush, it's like an offshoot of a vizara. So these practices, ein ba mishmer refuah, yesh ba mishmer nakimari, they're considered al kimari, and they're off limits for us. Ask the Gemara, really? So doing these undefined, you know, practices are problematic. But Tani, we have a brisa which seems to sanction it. You have an ilan, a tree. Shemeshe paroisav. He's shedding his fruit prematurely. They're just bouncing off the tree before they ripen. Shekir b'sikra. V'toyne b'avonim. Splatter some red paint on it. Load it up with heavy stones, which are going to hang on the branches, to address the tree's condition. Now, why is this allowed? B'shlemetayne b'avonim, I understand, you know, load them up with rocks. Kihechi, we turn to the next page, kihechi, the lichush chelet. The point is that when you overload him, it calms him down, depletes his energy. Rashi says, Shemarev shayna hu mashir, and the reason why he's sharing his fruit is because he's too plump and too exuberant. So by loading him up, deplete his energy a little bit, calm him down. Fine. So that's a process, a procedure which is attempting to have a direct, physical, medicinal effect on the tree. You see the cause and effect. But what about splattering it with paint? That seems to be like more of a mystical type of practice. Why is that allowed? The answer is no, it's the opposite. It's done for a very practical reason. Nothing wuji about it, nothing mystical. The point is to arouse public attention. People should say, oh, that red tree, what's wrong with that red tree? Oh, he's causing trouble, he's not healthy. The point is to arouse compassion. People should daven for you and daven for the tree. That's the point. It's just sending a message, broadcasting your problem. Because the son is Rabbi Bryce regarding a Metzera. He's meant to call out his condition. Rabbi Yisai, daven for me. He's meant to evoke compassion. And have people participate and daven for him. Because the son is Tame. When a person is Tame, Tame Yikra, call out that he is Tame. Inform the crowd. Sarach lo yidia l'rabim. Tell people about it. V'rabim. And the community will daven for you. Mavakshim olav rachamim. Likewise, v'chein mishe'er b'davar. Likewise, if a person encounters chas v'shalom, a difficult situation, an illness, misfortune, lo yaleinu, don't hide it. Tell people, tell your friends, tell people to daven for you. The koyach haram, the schus haram, the tefilas haram can only help you. You have to tell people. And in turn, the Sibur will daven for you. Amravina. Keman talin on kufsa bedikla. So, again, this fellow has a dikla palm tree who's shedding his fruit before ripening. And there's a practice that we do by hanging you hang a cluster of dates on the tree as a sign of trouble. What's that based on? Kiman ki aitan, it's based on this brisa. The point is, inform the people. Publicize it. To get everybody to daven for you, to be on board, and hopefully that will remedy the situation. It's interesting that we mentioned the Rashi here. You know, Abaye v'Rava set down a very clear parameter. Refuah practice is okay, non-refuah practice is not okay. What constitutes refuah practice? Rashi says, a medicine or even lachash, incantation. Interesting that Rashi in Maseches Shabbos actually mentions that lachash doesn't seem to be okay. Because it doesn't have that, physical element to it like a medicine does. You don't really see the cause and effect. Whereas Rashi over here does seem to say it's okay. So actually, the Rashba puts it down a bit differently. He says, even if it's not like a medicine, even incantation or any practice, which traditionally is known to achieve this result. It's known to have a positive effect, to have a healing effect. That's also okay. So he sort of expands the horizon a bit more. It doesn't just have to be like a procedure where the cause and effect is, clearly physically discernible. says any practice which is known to achieve proper results. Now, some explain it a bit differently. They say like this, that how do we define what's okay and what's not okay? Anything which relates to the patient himself. Any procedure which addresses any element within the patient, whether it's on his skin, flesh, bone level, or even on the energy level. A person is comprised of many levels of existence in his physical being. There's the physical, there's the metaphysical, right? That's okay. Because ultimately it's addressing this patient and his physical or metaphysical properties. Rebalancing them, redirecting them to achieve recovery and health. Is that all? That's okay. That's all part of refuah. There's no issue of avodah zarah there. Versus a procedure, this really relates to the whole issue of alternative medicine. What's considered acceptable, what's considered halachically sanctioned, what's not. So according to this, delineation, it's very clear cut, very clear. If it relates to the actual patient, the actual subject, then it's okay. It's considered a fool. But otherwise, if the practitioner is attempting to tap into some sort of, plug into some sort of powers out there, some sort of spirit, that presents issues of avodah zarah, something beyond the person at hand, tapping into, plug into some sort of so-called spiritual powers, all kinds of evil spirits out there, koichas hatumah or whatever. That doesn't relate to this person. That's out of this person. That's unrelated to the actual subject matter at hand. That's an issue of darkei emor. That's an issue of avodah zarah. Very fine line between what's acceptable and what's not, but it's a pretty clear definition. Okay, in any case, back to the etzem that was nishbar. If it's mostly covered, it's okay. Covered with what? Flesh, skin. Gidim was a shayla. All kinds of flimsiness and cracks and holes and slits, which were discussed as well. Technically, the shilya inside an animal is mutter, although it's not very appetizing. It doesn't have tumas nevelos or tumas eichlin. If it was designated for achila, it does have tumas eichlin going forward. We discussed the fact that the shilya really relates to what's inside it. So if it was partially birthed, there's a concern that perhaps the head portion of the embryo was exited as well, in which case it constitutes leda, in which case the shilya would be asur, together with the fetus inside it. We discussed when we're concerned about it, when we're not. Let's say he finds another animal inside, all kinds of shitas there. And interesting halach at the end, that a bakeras, animal giving birth for the first time, the shilya carries no concern of kedusha, because most likely it's not kaddish, versus by mugdashim, the chances are in favor of kedusha, so we have to treat it as such, provided, and we have to bury it, provided it's done in a way that's consistent with Jewish practices. Hadron lach behem makash. All the best to you and atzlacha.